I greet all the YWAM leaders and the staff and the International YWAM DTS leaders. I greet everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is a time that God has given us to be in His presence. As you know, we are talking on trust and obedience, two words that really very core of the Christian faith. It is trust and obedience. It's not belief. Many times we call ourselves believers. Sometimes I think, you know, there is a big problem in understanding our Christian faith as a belief, because belief is something different and trust is something different. In fact, the true biblical word for faith is trust. It is not just belief, because we believe all the facts, right? You know, we are believing the facts, but trust is something that we do, or, you know, we are trusting a person, not just some, what do you say, some facts. Because sometimes we think the historical truths about Jesus, if you believe it, you are a believer. But that is not a fact, you know that. Because even Satan, even devil believes everything that is written in the Bible. Even believing all the things that is written in the Bible doesn't make a person a Christian. Only when you start trusting God, that's what is exactly needed for each and everyone. We need to trust God. And trust and obedience, it goes together. But there is a difference. Obedience, you know, when somebody obey a person, it may not be always out of trust. Even without trust, somebody can obey a person. Maybe it's because of fear. A slave many times obey the master not because he trusts, or, you know, he has put his all trust in the master, but he fear that if he doesn't obey, he is going to be punished. Or a servant, he is obeying the master because he believes that only if he is obeying all the things that is said by the master, he will be getting a reward. So many times our obedience, many times it is not always, but this is something lesser than what the Bible teaches. Our obedience is either out of fear or out of expecting a reward. But we obey God not because we fear God or we expect a reward. Not even heaven, I tell you. Because Jesus said, you will obey my commandments when you love me. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. It is love. What motivates our obedience? That is the biggest question. What motivates our obedience? Is it some profit or some blessings or even heaven? Then it is not a disciple's trust. A disciple obey. The Jewish people in Old Testament, many of the people, they were obeying all the commandments because they expected some kind of blessing, or they feared that if they do not obey, they are going to hell. In these days, you know what happens? All these crusade preachers are asking you to obey the commandments. They say, if you obey, you have blessing. So if there is no blessing, will you obey? That's the question. That's the biggest question. That is where trust and obedience should go together. That's where these two words, we need to link it. We need to knit it together. Trust and obedience. What is trust, in fact? I told you, even without trust, you can obey. But if you trust, you will obey. You understand the difference? Even without trust, you can obey. But if you trust, you will obey. No one can trust God and be disobedient. Many people are obeying God because they fear. There is no trust. So it is not inevitable to see that we have trust to obey. But if you have trust, if you trust in God, that makes sure that you will obey. That's the reason why Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It is love. So love and trust, it goes together. You understand? Love and trust. I would like to draw your attention to explain this thing from the life of the three young boys we see in the book of Daniel. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's not their original names. Most of the time we call them like that, but they were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they never called themselves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And even Daniel never called himself Belshazzar. Sometimes the king calls him Belshazzar, but he was not calling himself Belshazzar. And even God, when God calls Daniel, what he calls? Belshazzar? Did he say like that?
No, Daniel. We need to understand that the world may call us many things, but we should not call that name for ourselves. Because all these four fellows, Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, all these people were bearing the name of God. Daniel, El is there, right? So El is God. Hananiah, it is Yah. And Mishael, Azariah, either El or Yah comes with their name. So they found their identity in relation with God. We need to find our identity in relation with God, not with some of our success or something we possess, or with our education or with our family name, nothing. We need to find an identity in relation with God. Everybody, that's very important. So if that is the case, you even should not bear the name of your organization. Because your final relation is only with God, not with your organization. You need to love your organization. You need to be loyal to your organization. But you should not find an identity with your organization. Because you need to see that you are finding your identity only with God. So organization today, it is there. Maybe tomorrow it is not there. Any organization. But God is an unchanging God. In heaven, there is no Jesus mission. In heaven, there is no YWAM. Even heaven, there is no operation mobilization. In heaven, there is only one person, that is God. You understand, my friends? So we need to find our identity, not with our organization, but with God. Daniel chapter 3, we see, verse 1, that King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it upon the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image. It's full gold. You know why Nebuchadnezzar was making it full gold? Why? Don't think that it is because he had enough gold and that's the reason. No, he just wanted to make people consider him as the richest person in the world. Of course, he was the richest person in the world, but there is something hidden in that. You know what it is? In chapter 2, we see he was seeing an image. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 32, we see in his dream, he saw an image, and the head of the image was of fine gold, and the breast and arms of silver, and the belly and the thighs of bronze, and its legs iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Okay? You know that. Because that image, it is not full gold, but the head is whole, the breast and arms, it is silver, and the belly and thighs, it is bronze, and the legs, it is iron, and the feet, it is, you know, it is a mix of clay and iron. Okay, so Daniel was giving an interpretation for this image, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar king, you are the head which is made of gold. But your kingdom will be overthrown by another kingdom. That is the kingdom created of silver. And then it is bronze. And then it is iron. And then it is iron and clay. So he understood he represents the golden head. So you know what he was doing? He made an image of full gold. What does it mean? He wanted to see that he is not overthrown by another king. So he wanted to see that he is going to rule the world for the whole ages. And he asked everybody to bow down before him, his image. Verse 5, we see that when a certain time when the music was there, you are to fall down and worship. That is what is written there. And verse 12, we see some people were not ready to do that. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no heed to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. So these three people, don't think that they are small guys. They were rulers over the province of Babylon. The province means the whole empire of Babylon. The key position is gone for the people who are ruling, or you know, who is in charge of the province of Babylon, because that is the capital state, right? So these people are very important people, and that must be the reason why it was noticed. Maybe if they were small guys, then you know, millions of people are living in Babylon, and maybe some people are not coming and worshiping the idol. It doesn't matter because they are not noticed. But the key persons, that is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were not paying attention to the commandments of the king, and they were not worshiping this idol. And some people were there eagerly waiting to see that something they could find against these people, because they were worshiping God. So they were reporting all these things to King Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what is happening? Nebuchadnezzar just called them, and he was very furious. And verse 13, it says that, and Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego be brought. In furious. It is quite natural. Means if you are a true Christian, don't think that everybody will respect you. And sometimes we expect like that, but that doesn't happen. Most of the time, if you are following the true religion, if you are following Jesus Christ, and if you are worshiping the Lord in truth and spirit, even Christians may be against you. You understand, my friends? It's not just heathen people, but even Christians will be against you, because, hey, these guys, they say, what? They are acting as if they are the only people who worship God. Don't you think that we are also Christians? Maybe they are against you. Maybe your own family members. And they are furious. It is written that they are furious. They were not soft. Because we cannot expect a soft approach from those people, because they are not controlled by God or by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes people say, why these people are against me? Why? Why they are shouting at me? It's natural. You are not supposed to shout because you have Holy Spirit. And these people can shout because they do not have the Holy Spirit. So nothing else you can expect from them. Am I right? So they were called by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar was asking a question. Verse 15, he said, now it is time for you to bow down before the image that I have put here. And if you do not bow down, you know what is going to happen? I'm going to throw you into the furnace, the fire. You understand? So the punishment is pronounced, and then he was asking, now it is time. You just do that. If you don't do that, you're going to be thrown into fire. And again, he is asking one thing. He is telling one thing. The verse 15 last, who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Who is the God? You say you are worshiping a God. Who is that God who will deliver you from my hand? And you know what? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answering, they were answering the king, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I love this passage. You know what they say? They say just one thing. Nebuchadnezzar, there is no need. Look at their courage. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Which matter? Which matter? Maybe you will say, worshipping the idol. No. Worshipping the idol, there is no matter. But something more. You know what they say? They say, that is something between we and God. It is nothing to do with you. We have a God, and our relation is not related with your image and your commandment or nothing of this world. See, our relation with God and whether he will deliver us or not, there's no need for us to talk all these things to you. You understand? There's no need for us to talk to you about our relation with our God. If I'm not worshipping your idol, maybe you will throw me into the fire. Maybe that happens. And they say, we have no need to answer you. It is a matter between God and us. Our faith is not your concern. That is what they say. King, our faith is not your concern. Why you are worrying about that? We are worshipping a God, and that God is able to redeem us from you. But it is not a matter at all. They are not saying, yes, our God will deliver us from your hands. No, they are not saying like that. Maybe that is our kind of proclamation of our faith. Our God is, he is going to deliver us. We say like that. But they say, it is our God who decides whether he should redeem us or not. It is not you. That is trust. Trust is not just believing that God will deliver us. Many times we say, that's the reason why all these faith workers, they say, you need to have faith. You need to have faith. What faith? You need to believe that God is going to redeem now, right now. They have their own kind of, what, expressions and all. Right now, God is going to redeem. If he doesn't redeem, then we will leave God, right? Yeah? We believe that he will redeem us. And if he is not redeeming you, that's the question. That's where you need to understand what is biblical trust. They say, our God is able to deliver us from your hands. We have no doubt about the ability of God. These young guys, they do not have a kind of doubt, nothing, not even a simple doubt that God is not able. They say, no, our God is able to deliver us from you. We totally believe it. But he will decide whether he should deliver us or not. So faith is not just believing in God. Faith is not just believing in the ability of God. Sometimes we think like that. Faith is believing in the ability of God. God is able. You believe that God is able to do this. You believe that God is able to do that. Our faith should be unique. That's what I understand. But I ask you one question, my friends. Do you think that it is a unique faith that God is able to do this, do anything? God is able to do anything that even devil believes it. Isn't it? It is not just the believers. Even devil knows that God is able to do anything. Am I right? Am I right, my friends? Then what is the difference between our faith and the faith of the devil? We think if we believe God is able to do everything, then you are a true believer. No. You know, when your trust becomes mature, when you say God is able, but he is sovereign. It is not just believing in the ability of God, it is also believing in the sovereignty of God. These three people say, God is able to deliver us, but we believe in the sovereignty of God. He will decide whether he should deliver us or not. He can even send us to the fire. He can even kill us. He can even allow us to go to the fire and be burned. It doesn't matter, because our life is in his hands. It doesn't mean maybe we'll die, maybe you will throw us. Even if that it don't think that these people say, even if he doesn't deliver, or even if he is not able to deliver. No, he is able to deliver, but even if he doesn't do that, even if he is allowing you to throw us into the furnace, still we will trust in him. Still, even if we are not saved by our God, we will not worship your idol. It is something different. Our worship is not related with the deliverance. Deliverance is something different. Maybe he will deliver, maybe he will not deliver. That is up to him, because we believe in the sovereignty of God. That's what even Job says. Job says, even if he kill me, I will wait upon him. He doesn't say, God will never do that. Yeah, he can. The true message of Job, book of Job, is that God is sovereign, nothing else. God can do anything. God can do anything. This should be our trust, our faith. When you say, it is not I, it is not others, it is not somebody else, it is not my organization, it is not my family, it is not my ability that decide what should happen, but it is God. When I believe in the sovereignty of God, my trust is complete. God delivered them. God is able, and God will do that. But my question, if it did not happen, then also their faith is not shaken. Many times we are redeemed, and sometimes we are not redeemed. You understand? See, sometimes people were thrown into fire. See, Peter was redeemed by the angel. But think about Stephen. Stephen was not redeemed by the angels. Even Paul was not redeemed by the angel. They were ready to die. The biggest problem when you trust God, God doesn't offer you a deliverance. Sometimes he delivers or sometimes he doesn't deliver, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't offer you a deliverance. Even in the case of Abraham, the trust. You know what is happening? Abraham, take your son, go to the place called Moriah and sacrifice your son. At the last moment, I am going to deliver him. Did he say like that? No. He did not expect. He was expecting the worst. Worst in the human terminology, I say. He expected the worst, but God was delivering. And sometimes God doesn't deliver. It is not according to the situations or it is not according to the deliverance that God is redeeming you. So this time, I just want to ask you to check your faith. Many times we believe or we think that trust is being delivered by God or believing in the ability of God. But more than that, we need to say, I'm believing in the ability of God, but not just the ability of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God. So we need to change our attitude. So if it is the ability of God, even devil believes it. But the devil is not accepting the sovereignty of God. We are not just believing the ability of God, we are accepting the sovereignty of God. Let's close our eyes 1 minute. Lord, we come to your presence in this morning time. We have been hearing about trust and obedience. We need to be obedient to God. But at the same time, Lord, we want to trust you. Because it is not inevitable that we trust in you even when we obey. But Lord, we want to see that our obedience is out of love and trust. It's not out of fear and expecting rewards. We just want to trust you and we are not concerned about what is happening. Maybe we'll be delivered and sometimes we may be even not delivered. We need to say very courageously to the people, like those young guys who said, there is no need to answer you in this matter. It is something between us and our God. Likewise, we want to say that, Lord, our faith is something between you and us. It is not a matter to be discussed. It's not a matter to be debated. It's a matter between us and you. We believe that you are able to redeem us. We believe that you are able to do anything. But we understand that it's not a unique faith. But the unique faith is that accepting your sovereignty. So Lord, this morning time we say, let it be according to thy will in our life. Everything. We know that you can deliver us. You can do wonderful things in our lives. Many times we were expecting a miracle. Sometimes we know it may not happen. So we are not trusting in a miracle. We are trusting in God. Hallelujah. Help us to trust in your sovereignty, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.